vacation on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate Thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for Thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to Thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to Thee, to be joyful in worshipping Thee, to be desirous of Thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me Thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom Thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to be with us during this episode. We're going to speak about the concept of responsibility of men and women in Islam. See what date is today. Today, Tuesday, is the 5th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of October 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and for today we choose chapter At-Tawbah, verse 71. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم.
The believing men and believing women are allies of one another. They enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong, and establish prayer and give zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Those, Allah will have mercy upon them. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The signs of true believers, men and women, have been mentioned in the verse under discussion. At first, it implies that they invite people to good. They also restrain people from vices, wickedness, and unlawful things. Contrast to the hypocrites, who usually forget Allah, the believers always establish prayer. Keep the remembrance of Allah, and consequently by this remembrance and the name of Allah, they cause their hearts to be light and their minds to be aware.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
As the previous episode of today's special, we follow the concept of responsibility of men and women in Islam. Surely Allah the Most High created man and gave him life for a certain time. He gave him wisdom, strength, free will, wealth of course, to enable him to use them in doing good and useful deeds, obtaining knowledge and worshipping him. If man wastes these blessings and bounties without taking any advantage of Islam, undoubtedly he will be held responsible for them on the resurrection day. Accordingly, man must be aware of his responsibility. He must feel a responsibility to Allah on the resurrection day. Thus, Allah the Almighty will hold him to account on that day for the wealth that he gave him and how he obtained and used it. Did he obtain it? Through lawful means like agriculture, industry, trading, and the like, or through unlawful ways like deceiving others, robbery, oppression, and the like. If he earned it through unlawful actions, his lot will be punishment and torture. If his wealth was gained through lawful means, most surely Allah will reward him and be pleased with him.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ramin Astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with discharging our responsibilities as viewed in the Islamic religion. Another kind of sensing responsibility concerns our parents. We find that everybody is expected to treat the parents with utmost respect and utmost kindness because it has been our parents who have raised us, and any kind of blessings or any kind of successes that we receive This is because of the kind of education we have received from them. At the same time, we find that according to a piece of hadith issued by the sixth infallible Imam, Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, we find that children are expected to be to be watchful regarding the needs of the parents. It isn't enough that when our parents say their needs to us, that we give them support. No, we have to think and we have to act prior to the expression of the needs to us. According to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who recommended one of his disciples and companions to be as kind and cooperative to his parents, such that this kind of support, I mean personal support, would act as a shield against the hellfire on the day of resurrection. Another kind of sensing responsibility is concerned with our occupations, our jobs, and the way we earn our living. Everybody is expected to be very much concerned with giving the right support and attention to his or her job. Because of this, I mean, everybody is expected to be able to discharge his or her responsibilities in the best way, such that when accomplishing any task or mission is entrusted to someone, there wouldn't be any need to nominate someone else in order to oversee the desirable procedure of fulfilling any task. Everybody should do his or her job as best as possible.
Now, responsibility towards other people. Man has social character, yeah? Life is based on interaction and communication between people, we know. They share many things, and together they form their family and society. Man is born alone to live with others in harmony. Allah Almighty says in the Holy Quran, O mankind, lo, we have created you from a male and female and have made you nations and tribes, that you may know one another. Lo, the noblest of you in the sight of Allah is the best in conduct. Lo, Allah is knower, aware. Chapter 49, verse 13. To live in harmony and to work together, Allah the Almighty established rules and laws in every aspect of life to facilitate people in their relations with each other. These rules precisely determine the rights of the individual according to his position, status, and totality of his traits.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's a special, and we're speaking about social responsibility in Islam. The reform of society was the main target of Islam. Even acts of worship contribute to the achieving of this reform. Within the framework of human society, the Islamic nation is a compact union having resource to itself, possessing an inner sense of responsibility for its own members and resisting decay both individually and collectively. According to the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family, every one of you is a shepherd, and every one of you will be questioned about those under his rule. A ruler is a shepherd, and he will be questioned about his subjects. The man is a shepherd in his family, and he will be questioned about those under his care. And the woman is a shepherd in the house of her husband, and she will be questioned about those under her care. Thus, every one of you is a shepherd and is responsible for those under his care.
تجوز قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع عن عمره فيما أفناه. How did you spend your time? Were you responsible in the society, or you just came to eat, drink, enjoy, have fun, and then you go? This is the life of animals. والذين كفروا يأكلون ويتمتعون كما تأكل الأنعام. Animals, they are worried about their food and their drink. But we are different. We have been endowed with a responsibility. God said this responsibility, asked the universe to undertake this responsibility. They failed. Inna aradna al-amana ala al-samawat wal-ard wal-jibal fa'abayna an yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insan innahu kana zaluman jahul. We said to the mountains, to the heaven, to the earth, take this responsibility. They declined. They said, sorry, we can't. فَأَبَيْن. Why? The mountain is not strong enough. The mountain physically is stronger than you and me. The earth is not strong enough. It is. But when it comes to the spiritual capacity, you are stronger. You have more capacity. You are bigger. You are bigger than mountains. You are bigger than the earth. You are bigger than the oceans. They don't have that spiritual capacity.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Till another episode, fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about listening to a mind-stimulating aphorism from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. To greet everyone you pass by and to sit in a place other than the first row of a session are signs of modesty.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We've been speaking about happiness and joy in some of our previous programs, our previous episodes. And it is something that, you know, it is not difficult to do. Sometimes just a mere smile brings joy to the heart of somebody else. A mere sitting down for a couple of seconds with somebody brings joy to someone's heart. It is not something difficult. It is something also that doesn't require much effort. And the amount of rewards and the amount of, you know, benefits that a person can gain from just a couple of minutes of giving their time to somebody else. And it's something for us to ponder upon, that we should not be such individuals who are very individualistic, who only think about ourselves. No, these traditions regarding happiness and joy to other people should indicate to us that no, we have a responsibility towards others as well. And in this beautiful tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he speaks about bringing happiness to the believers, to the Shia, especially in this time where many Shia throughout the world are suffering, where many Muslims throughout the world are suffering, you know, because of oppression, wherever they may be, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring joy to them by the right of the Imam Sahib al-Asr al-Zaman, inshaAllah. By the right of this tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. The Imam alayhi salam is reported to have said that when one of you brings joy to another believer, again, we said it doesn't require a lot of effort, whatever, you know, let him not see it as having only made him happy. And this is important, that obviously that believer is attached to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So when you make a believer happy, there is another consequence that comes to it. There's another, you know, group of individuals because you are making a follower of somebody else happy. So the Imam says that when one of you brings joy to another believer, let him not see it as only having made that person happy. Rather, by Allah, the Imam swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes us happy. That is the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So we, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, become happy when a believer is made happy by one of our followers. One of our followers is made happy by one of our followers. It shows that there is a connection between the followers, and the Imams alayhim as-salam like this connection. They are happy at this connection between the adherents of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And then the Imam continues and said, not only are we the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam pleased and happy or gain happiness by this act of yours, by Allah, he makes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam happy too. That by you making a believer happy, the Prophet is also happy by this act. Obviously the Prophet having an overriding, overlooking stance over the Imams alayhi wa sallam. So obviously by making a believer happy, you make the Ahlul Bayt happy. By making the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam happy, you make the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy and joyful too. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to always make the heart of the Holy Prophet happy with us, insha'Allah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra. بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, the audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. So the audience, stay tuned. Dear listeners, today we are going to listen to the recitation of a part of the fourth juz of the Noble Quran. So let's open the Qurans and turn to page 77 of Uthman Taha Scripts of the Holy Quran and listen to the first verse of Surah An-Nisa of juz 4 of the Holy Quran, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, O mankind, be careful of your duty to your Lord, who created you from a single soul, and from it created its mate, and from them twain hath spread abroad a multitude of men and women. Be careful of your duty toward Allah, in whom ye claim your rights of one another, and toward the wombs that bore you. Lo, Allah hath been a watcher over you.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا صدق الله العظيم.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of the first verse of Surah An-Nisa. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about the tajweed points of this holy verse.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, before, whenever we were talking about tahqiq recitations, we talked about maqamat as well. Maqamat are the musical modes or melodies that are used when reciting the Quran, because, reciters, they recite the Quran melodiously. They don't recite it without a melody, without a maqam.
Especially in tahqiq form.
Especially in tahqiq. But tartil also has maqamat. Anything that is melodious means that it has a maqam, even though it's not as noticeable as tahqiq. For certain reciters, actually. For example, Mustafa Ismail, he is reciting this verse in Maqam Rast. But because he's only using limited parts of this Maqam, it's not very noticeable. There are other reciters who recite Tartil. They use many parts of a Maqam, and it is a lot more noticeable. Minshawi, Mustafa Ismail, Abdul Basit, the way they recite the Quran in Tartil is such that you can't really...
No maqam stands out.
Yeah. You could still identify the maqam and tell what the maqam is, but for the untrained ear, it's difficult. It sounds normal. It doesn't sound like it's a specific maqam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on to the tajweed points. First of all, we have a matul munfasil at the beginning of this surah.
A disjunct mat.
A disjunct mat, meaning that the long vowel and the cause of the long vowel, which is hamza, are separated. They're not in the same word. Ya, ayyuha. There's two words.
Yes.
And we said that hamza is what makes a mat lengthened more than two vowel counts, unless it's matul munfasil, where you have the option to lengthen to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. And Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, he lengthens this mad to 2 vowel counts, which is qasr. And as you can see, the speed of his recitation is relatively fast, because, people who want to recite the whole Quran correctly, most of them listen to a tartil recitation, and they recite the Quran along with that reciter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if the reciter recites the Quran with a faster pace, they'll be able to finish the juz or even the whole Quran
sooner.
Yes, more quickly. So that is why in tartil style, most reciters, they recite relatively fast,
mm-hmm.
because it aids those who want to recite the Quran along with them. Nisa'a. We had a long vowel here. This is matul muttasil.
Yeah, this is conjunct, man.
This is the opposite of matul muttasil. And so you have to lengthen it to either 4 or 5 vowel counts. You don't have any other choice. Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, lengthens it to four vowel counts.
Another, dear audience, know Maddul Muttasil takes place when the Hamza, which is cause of the mat, and the long vowel are in the same word.
Exactly, that's right.
Nisa.
Yeah. It's the name of this surah, Suratul Nisa, and it's one word.
Mm-hmm.
And this Hamza has a tanween al fath, and it also has the waqf sign jim. So if you're going to do waqf on this word, how should you pronounce the Hamza? Nisa. No, you have to say, yeah. If you say Nisa, that's incorrect. Nisa. You have to pronounce the Hamza like an aliful mad, even though there is no aliful mad written. Okay? For example, we have ma'a, nisa'a, and so on and so forth. You have another matul muttasil in the word tasa'aluna. Another, the last point is the word raqiba. The qaf was pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim. If you say raqiba, that's incorrect. Raqiba, with the lowest level of tafkhim.
And by tafkhim,
we mean, like you said, pronouncing something with a full mouth,
mm-hmm.
or thickly.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Don't go away.
Now it's time to listen to Hujjatul Islam, Dr. Shomali.
Inshallah, we will reflect on some hadith about the Quran. The first hadith is a hadith which is very famous. It has been cited here from Kanzul Ummal by Al-Muttaqi Al-Hindi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to this hadith, said, إِذَا الْتَبَسَتِ الْأُمُورُ عَلَيْكُمْ. When things, affairs become confusing, it's difficult to understand what is right, what is wrong, what is the best decision, what is the best policy, whom to support, whom not to support, what to do, you are not sure. كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. Like very dark nights, very dark portions of the night, that there is no light, no star, and you don't know. You should go to the front, to right, left, go back. You cannot navigate. You cannot find your way. So if the situation becomes like this, إِذَا الْتَبَسَتِ الْأُمُورُ عَلَيْكُمْ كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Then you must refer to the Quran. Quran is the guide. Quran is the path. Quran is the light. So there is no way to go wrong if you truly follow Quran. فَإِنَّهُ شَافِعٌ مُشَفَّعٌ. Quran is the intercessor that in its intercession is accepted. No way that Quran ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive this person, to honor this person, and Allah would say no. If we make friendship with the Quran, if we follow the Quran, if we have endorsement of the Quran for what we have done and what we have said, We will pass all the tests. وَمَا حِلٌ مُصَدَّقٌ. But at the same time, if the Quran complains about someone, the complaint of the Quran is accepted. You cannot question and say, no, this is not fair, this is not right. No. وَمَنْ جَعَلَهُ أَمَامَهُ قَادَهُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. If someone puts the Quran in front of him and follows the Quran, you know, sometimes we ask someone direction, says, you know, follow me. I go and you come after me. If we do the same with the Quran and we follow the Quran, قَادَهُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, Quran will take you to heaven. وَمَنْ جَعَلَهُ خَلْفَهُ. But na'uzu billah, if someone turns his back to the Quran, so Quran is showing another direction, I go this direction, so Quran is behind me, then قَادَهُ إِلَى النَّارِ. Then, because hell and heaven are quite opposite to each other. Quran is taking people to heaven. If you go with the Quran, you go to heaven. If you turn your back to the Quran, then you will go to hell.
That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك.
Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were discussing the elements hindering the acceptance of the supplications. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this part of the supplication, Kumail says, Allahumma ghafir li adhunub allati tahbisu dua. O Allah, forgive me those sins which hold back supplication. This means there are a couple of elements involved in here, stopping our supplications from reaching the station
of mercy of the Almighty Allah and the station of acceptance. We have discussed many elements so far, and now another factor involved in the hindering of acceptance of the supplications is jealousy, one of the most obscene qualities of mankind. About this jealousy, Islamic scholars believe that this jealousy is observing a blessing with someone, and after that, wishing for its removal from them. Jealousy is, in fact, discontent with Almighty Allah's wise fate in giving blessings to the other people. And this is the true meaning of jealousy. This means, I am not pleased with the Almighty Allah is pleased. Pride, self-admiration, longing for mastery, and stinginess are factors that actually are the origins of jealousy in human heart. Imam Sada alayhi salam, in this regard, has stated, إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْإِيمَانِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبُ. Surely, jealousy removes belief as the fire burns wood. He also said, أَفَتُ الدِّينِ الْحَسَدُ وَالْعُجْبُ وَالْفَخْرُ. The plague for the belief is jealousy, self-admiration, and pride. This holy Imam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in another narration has stated, the Prophet ﷺ has sought refuge to Allah from six things: suspicion, disbelief, pride, wrath, oppression, and jealousy.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf. And I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
Interestingly, it has also been narrated that once Prophet Moses was praying and talking to Allah when he saw a man under the shade of Almighty Allah's empyrean. He called, O Lord, who is this man who has been shadowed by your highest heaven? He was replied, he is one of those who was not jealous of what Almighty Allah had bestowed upon others. As you have been with us, you have understood that it is quite different from what we call as cupidity or greed. Cupidity was the interest that you have for other people's possessions, and you wish, you ask for what the others possess. You state that interest in a way that forces other people to give away their property. Also, greed was something else, different from what we are calling jealousy. Greed was intense desire for wealth, for accumulating properties. And it was that desire for accumulating more than your need, which consequently caused mental disorder for human beings. The other factor also discussed was stinginess. It was also about the material blessings. So as you can see, most of these tributes, or better say, these elements, are related to the material blessings we're given in this world. And that's why we have been highly recommended in our religion to be really careful when we are approaching these material blessings. As you can see, there are many of these elements involved, and one aspect of these elements is that they cause the hindrance of the acceptance of our prayers. And this is what Imam Ali alayhi salam is well aware of. And that's why he is calling out to his Lord saying, Allahumma ghafir li adhnub allati tahbisu ad-du'a. O Allah, forgive me those sins which hold back supplication. We'll inshallah cover more of these elements in the next programs. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام میگذاره همه این ارزش ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: العلم مقرون بالعمل، فمن علم عمل، والعلم يهدف بالعمل، فإن أجابه وإلا ارتحل عنه.
Imam Ali said, "Knowledge is associated with action. Therefore, he who knows should act, because knowledge calls for action. If there is a response, well and good. Otherwise, knowledge departs from him."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, the son of Abu Talib, alayhi salam. You know, dear friends, we find in the historical texts of both the Sunnis and the Shias, and we also find in the history books that have been written by non-Muslims, that in his time, Imam Ali was the most pious man of his time. Now, we talked about in a few sessions how Imam Ali was detached from this world. He would fast during the days, he would worship during the nights. It's interesting, we find a tradition from Imam Ali where he says that I love the fasting of the summer months where the heat is almost intolerable.